I turn to this verse tonight, and you might, as you read it, you might not think about it as a prayer verse, but I believe that it is. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. You know, prayer is a wonderful thing. Prayer is how we get what we need from God. God wants to meet our needs, and God does meet our needs. Philippians 4:19, the Bible says, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And when we pray and we ask for things that we need, God is willing to give us those things that we need in answer to prayer. But prayer goes beyond that. It goes beyond just what we need. It's also the key to get more than we need. It's the key to get what we desire. In Psalm 37, verse 4, the Bible says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart." And so as we delight ourselves in the Lord, as we delight ourselves in the Word, as we delight ourselves in salvation, as our will begins to be molded to where it conforms to his, and our desires begin to reflect his desires for our life, he'll give us not only what we need, but the desires of our heart. But I would submit to you tonight that prayer goes beyond that. Not only is it the way that we get what we need, not only is it the way that we get the desires of our heart, but prayer is the way that God gives us things that we cannot even imagine, that we just can't comprehend in our mind. The missionary, the Awana missionary, Brother Rick Stomps, that was with us a moment ago, he quoted Jeremiah 33:3 in our meeting a minute ago, where the Bible says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not." I mean, there are things that God has in heaven that he wants to give us that we just cannot imagine. We just can't conceive them in our mind. You know, I had this experience recently. You know, sometimes when you order in a catalog, on the form, they have a little box, and this was on the computer form, and they said, "If we are out of stock in this item, could we just ship you something in its place?" And when I first read that, my tendency was to not check the box. I said, "No, I'm ordering what I want. If I wanted something else, I'd order that. I really want what I want. And so just ship me what I want. I mean, you shouldn't put it in the catalog if you don't got it. You know, I'm the kind of guy, if you go to McDonald's and they say, 'Can you pull up a little bit?' I say, 'No, this is supposed to be a fad food place. Give me my money back. I don't want to wait. If I wanted to wait, I would have went somewhere else.' I know, Brother Bill, you're not like that, but that's just one of my many shortcomings. I've never done this before, so I'm going to check the box. I checked the box. A few weeks later, a box came from the company. I ordered some. Sure enough, they were out of what I ordered. And so I opened the box, and in the box, there was something a whole lot better than I ordered that I'm so cheap I never would have paid for myself. But they sent it in place of the thing that I ordered for the price of the thing that I ordered. I said, "I'm going to check that box every time when I do company business, and I'm going to hope they're on back order for what I ordered so they'll send me something better." But that's the way God is. I mean, if we could just get to the point in our prayer life where we say, "God, I think I know what I want, but you probably know better, really, what I want, so I'm just going to check the box. If you're out of what I want, or, no, that's not the right way to say it. If you know of something better that I want than what I'm asking for, just forget what I say and just send me what you know I want." And if we could get to that point in our prayer life, God would abundantly bless us. Now, prayer is also the mechanism that causes us to stay close to God. Because you see, God doesn't give us a year's worth of provision at one time. He doesn't say, "Hey, I know that you're going to need this for the next 365 days, so I'm just going to give it to you all at once." God is smarter than that. Because God knows that if he gave it to us all at once, we would waste it. He doesn't even give us what we need for the whole month. He gives us what we need day by day.
day by day. He fed the Israelites day by day. Manna every morning, except for the Sabbath day. And then on Saturday, or on Friday, he gave them twice as much. The Lord's Prayer, as we talked about it in Sunday school this morning, as Ruth Ann sang about it tonight. Give us this day our daily bread. And he wants us to keep coming back to him and stay close to him day by day to get what we need. Sometimes it's even shorter than that. I didn't know the song that Adam was going to sing this morning, but it goes right along with my message tonight. Sometimes it's not month by month or day by day. It's hour by hour. And we sing the song this morning, I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. And sometimes it's not even an hour. Sometimes it's moment by moment where we say, God, I can't make it for the next minute without you. And it keeps us close to God as we have to come to him and pray for the things that we need. And sometimes, again, we don't know what we need. Sometimes we can't even put it into words. And sometimes we just weep because we know we need something, but we don't know what we need. And God says, hey, I'll catch your tears. I'll interpret from your tears. I know what you need. I just want you to stay close to me and know that you need me, and I'll give you what you need minute by minute, moment by moment. You see, God wants us to have that kind of relationship with him. God is not interested in a once-a-week relationship. He's not interested in a twice-a-week relationship. He just doesn't want us to come on Sunday and have a good day. He just doesn't want us to come on Wednesday and have a good time when we come to the house of the Lord. He wants a relationship that's 24/7. He wants a relationship with us every single day. In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20, the Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. And many times we use that verse for salvation, and it does paint a picture of salvation as Jesus stands at the door of our hearts and say, hey, I want to come in. You're a sinner. You need a Savior. I'm the only one that works. Open the door, and I'll come in. But I think it has another meaning as well. I think the Holy Spirit a lot of times stands at different doors that are in our life, and he knocks at that door and he says, no, I want to come in. I can't come in unless you let me, but I want to come in and I want to sup with you and you with me. You know, I just picture that in my mind, what it is to sup with Jesus, what it is to sup with the Holy Spirit. You know, dinner time, as you can tell from looking at me, is one of my favorite times of day. And I don't get to eat dinner the way my schedule has been the last 4 or 5 months. I don't get to eat dinner with many people. The first part of the week, I'm down with my dad, and he's usually sleeping at dinner time. He's down eating one meal a day, and it's usually breakfast. And so I'm usually eating by myself. And other times during the week, I get to enjoy dinner sometimes with some folks. But you know, there's just something sweet about sitting down with people that you love, having a meal, getting done, pushing the dishes back, and just sitting there and visiting. Maybe having another glass of iced tea, another glass of lemonade, and just sitting and being with people you love. And that's what this verse says to me. The Holy Spirit says, hey, I stand at the door and knock. I want a relationship with you. I don't want just a relationship on Sunday and Wednesday. I want us to be together all the time. I want us to enjoy that fellowship that comes with the closeness of knowing that we need him and that he will provide our every need. And not only our every need, but the desires of our heart. And not only the desires of our heart, but those things that we can't imagine, that we can't conceive in our mind that God wants to give us. He says, I want that relationship with you. and I want to be able to do all that. He says, I'm here. Let's be close. Let's be close. So prayer is the mechanism that gets us what we need. It's a mechanism that gives us the desires of our heart. It's a mechanism that gives us more than we can ask or think. It's a mechanism that keeps us close to God because we need Him. But you ever stop and think that prayer does something to us as well? Prayer changes us as well. And I think that's what the verse in Psalm chapter 10, verse 17 is talking about. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. Let me just give you three things tonight quickly. Number one, as I pray, if I'm praying the way I'm supposed to be, and if you're praying the way you're supposed to be, as we pray, it makes us more humble. Lydia, it makes us more humble. We were talking about humility before the service tonight. But it makes us more humble. Because as I pray, I'm asking God to do for me what I cannot do for myself. And as I do that, I begin to see myself the way God sees me. David wrote in Psalm chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? David says, I went out to the night, looked up at the sky. I saw the moon. I saw the stars. I thought about the one that made them. I thought about the one that set them in their place. I thought about the one that called them by name and the one that keeps them on their course and the one that keeps them in their place. I thought about God. And when I look at the heavens and I consider all the things that He has made, what am I in comparison to God? I can't even keep my toolbox straight. I can't even keep the garage cleared up. But God can keep the whole universe in His place. What am I compared to God? In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, as God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I can't compare myself to God, and neither can you. As we think about ourselves in comparison to God, we realize how small and weak and puny we are compared to Him. And yet, when we pray, the one that set the sun in its place, the one that set the moon, the one that set every star and keeps them in its place, when we pray, the one who did all that listens and hears our prayers and answers. And so as I pray, it keeps me humble. As I realize what God has done and what only He can do, as He created the universe and keeps it in its place, it humbles us, or it should. James says in chapter 4, verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. In Psalm 51, verse 17, the Bible says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. As it says in our text, Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. And the more I pray, the more humility I bring on myself, or I should bring on myself. And the more humility, the more God hears. As we pray, number two, God also works on us. Thou wilt prepare their heart. He hears me, and He starts working on my heart. He starts working on me. As Straya testified a moment ago, and I mentioned she was getting into my sermon a little bit. Sometimes when we pray and it seems like God takes a long time to answer, it may be that he's working on us to get us ready for his answer. It may be that he's preparing for something, that there's a change that's necessary in us for that answer to come. I was thinking about this. You know what, when you have company, you do special things to get ready. You may put sheets on the guest bed. You may have to put an extra leaf in the table. You may have to get some extra chairs to put around the table. You may get some extra food in the house. But you know that company is coming, and you want to prepare for them, and so you do things to prepare. Well, when we pray, God knows the answer that he's going to send. And he knows what condition we're in, and he knows that sometimes we're not in the condition to receive the answer that he's going to send. And so he begins to prepare us for that answer. Sometimes that preparation is to get certain sins out of our life. Bible says in Psalm 66, verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And that word, one of the key words in that verse is regard. Regard. If I regard iniquity in my heart. Regard is something that I give place to. It's not accidental sin. There are some sins that happen by accident. I mean, and here's how I like to illustrate it. You know, if this is right and this is wrong, sometimes we get so close to the line that we by accident fall into wrong. I mean, we didn't intend to do it, but we get so close to the line, we'd be a whole lot better off if that was the line, if we just stayed as far away from it as we can. But this verse is not talking about accidental sin. It's talking about giving regard to sin. David prayed, God, deliver me from presumptive sin, sin that I regard, sin that I know is a sin, sin that the Holy Spirit's convicted me about, sin that the Holy Spirit says you need to get rid of, and yet I give it a place, I give it a spot in my life. I know it's wrong, but it's still there. And as we pray, God says, well, I got an answer I'm ready to give you, but you're not ready to get it yet. And sometimes we may say, well, what do you mean I'm not ready to get it yet? And God says, well, you know that thing in your life that the Holy Spirit's been convicting you about? You know that sin in your life that you've given regard to? That's driving a wedge between us. I've got an answer that you have not conceived of, and I want to answer your prayer in this way, but there's some things I got to do to prepare you to get the answer, and one of the things is you need to get rid of this sin. You need to get rid of this thing in your life that you've been convicted about. You know that's wrong. It's stopping me from answering you the way that I want to answer. Sometimes God works on us to mold our will to his. He works on us to mold our desire to what he desires for us. Because I would submit to you tonight, we really don't know what we need. I would submit to you tonight that God knows a whole lot better than we do what we need. Aaron's 4 years old. He doesn't know what he needs yet. He thinks he does. There are times he knows exactly what he wants, and if you try to give him something different, he'll get mad and he'll rebel. The other day I said I wanted to do something for him, and he wasn't ready to do it. And he came over and he started on my knees. I said, Aaron, I know better than you know what you want. He said, no, you don't. I know what I want. I said, no, you don't. Your paw knows better than you do what you want and what you need. And we laugh at a little four-year-old, but I wonder how many times we've acted that way with God. I know what I need. God says, no, you don't. You don't know what you need. I know better. No, I know what I need. Give me what I want.
No, I'm not going to do it. I love you too much to give you what you think you want. You don't really want it. You don't really need it. Yes, I do. How many times have we gotten mad at God because we said, I know better than God what I need. I know better than God what I want. We don't. No more than my little grandson does. We don't. And so God has to work on us to help us understand that he knows more than we do about what we need and about what we want. And then look at the last part of that verse. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. I like this. I like this. God says, you humble yourselves, and you let me prepare your heart. And when you pray, I'll cause my ear to hear. Now let me give you an example of what I think that means. When I was working for General Motors, we had caller ID on our phones. You remember, Jack, you could tell who was calling you. And when somebody called you, their name would pop up on the screen on your phone. And so I could tell when my boss was calling me. I could tell. And I'll talk about the last boss that I had. His name was Charlie. And the second time Charlie called me when I started working for, I had a meeting going in my office. I had 15 people in my office, and we were talking about something. Phone ring, I looked over it and saw his name. I said, well, I got all these people in the office. I won't answer it. I'll wait. So I didn't answer it. A few minutes later, there was a knock at my door. Charlie stuck his head in and said, I said, well, I got all these people in a meeting. He said, doesn't matter. So I went outside. He said, did you look at your phone when it rang? I said, yes, I did. He said, did you see it was me? I said, yes, I did. He said, why didn't you answer it? I said, well, I had this meeting going. I had 15 people in my office. He said, we're going to get something straight right from the get-go. When I call you, and I know you're here, I want you to answer the phone. Got it? I said, yes, sir. Got it. So from that point on, it did not matter what was going on in my office. If the phone rang and I saw that it was Charlie calling, I answered the phone. Here's what I think happens up in heaven. We humble ourselves because we see ourselves the way that God does. We let him prepare our hearts. And then we pray. And God up in heaven, if he's talking to the angels or talking to Peter or Paul or one of those saints, he says, just a minute. I got to listen to this. I got to cause my ear to hear. And he stops what he's doing. And he listens. But I think he does more than that. In Psalm 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my prayer. Not only does he stop what he's doing and say, hey, I've got to listen to this, but he sort of comes to the edge of heaven, and he sort of leans down to listen. I don't know about you, but when I think that the one who made everything in this world, that I can look around and see the wonder of, that cares enough about me and loves me, that if I will humble myself and let him prepare my heart, he says, then I'll cause my ear to hear. and says to whatever he's doing, and I know I'm giving God human attributes. I know that he can do as many things as he wants to at once. And so if he's talking to Peter, he doesn't have to stop and talk to Peter to listen to my prayer. But I'm just trying to illustrate it so you get my point tonight, because this is how I think we need to think about it. When we humble ourselves and when we let him prepare our hearts, and then we pray, he says, just a second. Just a second. I got to listen to this. And then he leans down and inclines unto us to hear it. Oh, what a God. What a God. What a God. And what a wonderful thing that we have in prayer. Now listen, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, the prayer he's waiting to hear from you is, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I believe when you died on Calvary, you died for me, and tonight I'm asking you to save me. If you've never done that, you need to do it tonight, because we're all sinners and there's a penalty for that sin. The penalty of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And if you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, you can do that tonight. We can help you. We'll take the Bible and show you from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. If you're a Christian, let's just rejoice together tonight that we got a God that hears and answers our prayer. He causes his ear to hear, gives us not only our needs and the desires of our heart, but he gives us things that we can't even think about. So let's just mold our will to his. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we've been able to be here tonight. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you just speak to our hearts. I pray that you would do in each one of us tonight what you know needs to be done. I pray if there is somebody here that doesn't know Christ, that you'd help them come and we could take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Just bless this time of invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.